If you'll turn with me for our time of confession of sin to Genesis chapter 12. Okay, we need to make room too. Yeah, we do. If there are any extra chairs like between you and another family or another person, try to move over and open up some seats. What, Patty? Well, we got some. That's good. You guys were very obedient. That was good. The gospel message is a unique message compared to all the other messages that we see in religions of the world, because it's a message of grace, salvation by grace through faith, and it's a message of forgiveness, and it's a message of being made at peace with God. And that message starts long ago in the history of the church, which finds its roots in the Old Covenant. And I'd like you to read with me Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country, and from your relatives and from your father's house to the end which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth, they shall be blessed." Here in Genesis chapter 12, God establishes his covenant with Abram. Years later, God changed his name because the meaning of Abraham actually fit better with the meaning of God's promise and what God was doing through Abraham. He tells Abram here that he will make him into a great nation, that he will bless him, and that through him, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Notice that this covenant in no manner depends upon Abram. Abram here is simply the beneficiary of God's self-endorsed promise. It didn't depend upon man, as our salvation does not. And notice that God's promise to Abraham is not just about Abraham. God promises to bless all the families or the nations, as Paul puts it, of the earth to Abraham. This is why God changed Abraham's name, as we said. His new name fits this. What is amazing is that Paul tells us in Galatians 3, verses 8, that this promise to the families and nations of the world was nothing less than the gospel being preached. This was the case because, as Paul makes clear in the passage in Galatians, contained in this promise was the message that just as Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, in the same way God will justify the Gentiles by faith. And I'd like to read that passage out of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verses, we'll start in verse 6 and read through verse 9. "And so Abraham, he believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'All the nations shall be blessed in you.' So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer." Now the evidence that God has kept this promise to Abraham, saved people by faith, and bless the families and nations of the world through Abraham, can be seen if we just take a look around this room. We are all Gentiles, and yet we have the privilege of having a relationship of peace with Yahweh, as Abraham had. The Lord Most High, because God has kept his promise to Abraham, that's why we are here today. He has sent Christ to reconcile all things in heaven and earth to himself, and to redeem us Gentiles so that we might receive the blessed promise that was given to our father, Abraham. Now, one of the glorious gospel blessings that comes in to the nations of the world through God's covenant with Abraham is found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You've heard that passage read many times. Here is an Abrahamic promise, a covenant promise to us this day as God's people. And this, because of this promise, we ought not to ever lose heart. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. And to do what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even though we are Christians here, even though we are recipients of the Abrahamic promise, we still do sin, don't we? But here we are given the solution to the problem. Here we have God's promise that when we sin, that God remains faithful, as He did with Abraham long ago, that He remains righteous, that He will keep His promise to forgive us again and again. Because through Abraham, as Gentiles, we indeed have become recipients of the promised blessing of God. So let's confess our sins together with great confidence, knowing that God, through Christ, based on the promise that He gave to Abraham, forgives us our sins. Let's pray together. Lord, individually, You have known and searched our hearts better than we have this week, and You've known and searched our lives and our actions better than we have. And Lord, we thank You that we are able to come before You today and confess our sins and our shortcomings, those times that we've been unfaithful to You. And Lord, also, as Your covenant people, as a community of believers, just as Israel failed You many times in the past, Lord, without a doubt, Providence Church has sins to deal with and confess to You, Lord. And so as a church, we recognize that we're not perfect yet. We're not the bride of Christ made complete. And so we confess our sins to You as a church. We recognize we can love each other better, that we can care for one another more, we can give to one another more generously. Lord, that we can be more patient and forbearing with one another. We pray that You might grant that to us. And as a nation, Lord, we confess our sins to You because as Your people that are an important part of this nation, we have indeed turned our back on You. We pray that You be merciful to us, forgive us of all these many sins, based upon the promise that You gave to our father Abraham and to the words that You shared and given to us through John. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.